Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the PWF Empire Podcast. Jay here, along with the International Man of Mystery, a.k.a. the Canadian Sensation, Dalton. What's up?
Not only am I the Canadian Sensation, I am the Canadian AJ Styles. I just spell it E-H.
I see. I like what you did there. Okay. You have any interesting little tidbits about Canada? Because I don't know if you know this, but I am really obsessed with Canada, and it's due to Trish Stratus, Chris Jericho, Degrassi. I'm really big on Canada, and I want to find out more about that wonderful, great neighbor of ours. So you have any interesting facts to share?
As a matter of fact, I do. As you guys might know, Brock Lesnar, who is originally from Minnesota, has dual citizenship with Canada. Mm-hmm. And apparently, whenever you gain citizenship with Canada, you get a shirt that looks like yours.
That, my shirt? Like, literally?
The shirt from the video 2 weeks ago that Cass is hating on.
Oh, okay. Well, that's another reason to, you know, jump over to the Great White North there. That's a wonderful shirt.
Oh, man, you're not... You know you regret buying that thing.
No, I do not. I'm bringing it to WrestleMania. And like I said on the video, because somebody was talking trash about it, I'm wearing it in my next video, and I will be bringing it to WrestleMania just to be petty.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we get Cass to get his tackiest, most out-of-date, eccentric wardrobe, and we'll all do a video together wearing the wackiest thing we own in our closet.
But what does Cass wearing a tacky t-shirt have to do with my absolutely amazing fashion choice? I'm not sensing the connection here.
Jay does have a point.
See, thank you.
Well, it's easy to come from him because he's looking quite dapper in his photo right there.
And who is this mystery third person that you all hear on the line right now? This is the noob to PWF Empire by the name of Micah. And actually, the interesting thing about it is you're not quite a noob. You're just a noob to the air. But you have gone from being a listener to the program to actually being a co-host now. So I would like to officially welcome you to PWF Empire, Micah.
I wish I had a laugh track or a clap track so I can be like, woo, yeah. But I know for me, since I'm new, it's crickets. So I'm just going to have to wow everybody on the air right now so that they come back for more next time.
I don't know. When you say it's crickets, there are some folks who would probably wish for crickets. You know, around here, you should know you come from the audience. They're yes, like friggin' piranhas. They'll jump on you. So if you do get crickets, it's probably a good thing. I'm gonna say that because they hate.
No, I don't want crickets. We think about it in the WWE. Look at Jinder Mahal, or not even look at Jinder Mahal. Look at Kalisto, or I got one better for you, Jay. Look at American Alpha. Straight up crickets. I don't want that.
I talked to Micah for about an hour and a half last week, just talking to him, seeing if he was a right fit for PWF Empire. And towards the end of our conversation, he did start talking about American Alpha, and he acknowledged that they're not in a right place in on the main roster of WWE. But it like hurts. It really does, because I know how emotionally connected I was to that team down in NXT, just seeing them grow up, seeing them form that team. I remember when Jason Jordan was looking for different partners, and he was trying this person out and that person out, and then Chad Gable comes into the picture, and to see them literally from day one grow into this absolutely amazing team, looking at that championship win down in NXT and being so excited about it, the great matches that they were putting on with the Revival, and to see where they are right now. We talked about it last week. The biggest match that you can make in the tag team division over on SmackDown, American Alpha versus the Usos, WWE forced me not to care. And a week after, they tell me, you do not have to care about these two teams because these two teams are irrelevant. They put on a championship match. And the title changed hands.
And yes, the title 2 weeks before WrestleMania. 2 weeks before WrestleMania.
If that ain't criminal, I don't know what is. And you know why they're doing that, though, right? It's probably because they don't have a spot on the card.
Yeah.
Which is such a shame, because these teams have such good chemistry together. American Alpha and the Usos. Jay knows personally, I think it was two matches ago that they had. There was the spot in the middle of one of their matches where Jason Jordan refused to tag in Chad Gable because he was too hurt. The Usos worked over his leg too much in the match. And Jason Jordan called an audible, and he's like, no, I'm not going to tag you in. And then immediately he lost for it. And I was like, right there, I could be sold on any other match they put together. They've got such good in-ring chemistry. And the fact that they're probably not going to be featured in a match on WrestleMania, either of these teams, is criminal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it just sucks that we had great storytelling like that at that point. And this is concerning American Alpha, the Usos, and SmackDown as a whole. You know how folks out there, they have hashtag not my president? I want to start hashtag not my SmackDown. Because I watch this show. I don't know what the hell show this is. This is not my SmackDown, with the rich storytelling, the compelling characters that were battling it out and storylines and things like that. It looks as if SmackDown has taken the booking philosophy from Monday Night Raw, where it's not about the week-to-week stories and just those compelling stories from one point to the next. It's just, okay, we're going to throw on these big superficial moments to get people excited, and that is so fake to me, and that's not what made SmackDown the best WWE show that they've been putting on since the brand extension. You look at the title change here, you look at the end of the show with Shane McMahon and the elbow. I mean, stuff like that on its own, in that individual moment, it's good, but I feel as if they're severely lacking when it comes to the storytelling, and it sucks that this is all happening when things matter the most on the road to WrestleMania.
Well, for me, looking at it and watching it, all of this, right now WWE is in the two ways right now. They are in the form of keeping their competitors safe and telling more so with the story rather than the wrestling. And for Raw, it looks exactly the same. Raw looks exactly the same. We get your standard, regular opening promo, good opening match, pile of dog crap for about an hour and a half. Switch that. The first hour and a half is good, then a pile of dog crap the second hour and a half, and then the last half is Roman Reigns music ending the show. Not going to hate, but every time for the past, since like December, Roman Reigns' music has ended the show. But now that's leading into SmackDown, because they're going exactly like that. Remember the SmackDown that was when the brand split happened at the very beginning. It was a immediate maybe match. If it was a promo, it was maybe less than a couple minutes. And then after that, it would be a match. Promo, build, character, depth, growth, match, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Each show would probably have three. A SmackDown would probably have four. At a good night, five matches. But now they're transitioning into, lately, and thankfully I've been taking notes, that it is promo.
Oh, look at
promo.
You, notes.
I can hear the paper rustling.
I'm trying to actually get the Skype working on my computer so you guys can actually see me. And I have it call here. I just don't want to mess up everything. So after this, I'm going to try and do that real quick. Anywho, so a normal SmackDown, literally lately, since probably after Elimination Chamber, that's it. It opens, honest to God, probably 10 to 20 minute promo. But unless it's The Miz, it's good. Unless it involves The Miz, it's good. Everything else, for example.
Hold on. You said, unless it involves The Miz, it's good, meaning that if it involves The Miz, it's not good?
No, sorry. My mistake. Unless it involves The Miz in the opening promo, it is good. For example, today, this week's with AJ Styles, it was aight.
Oh, okay.
It was aight.
It wasn't even aight, dude.
He proved his point in like 3 minutes, and then he just kept talking.
See, that here's the problem I have with that AJ thing. I understand where AJ is coming from. I would have enjoyed if he would have kept what he was saying in the first part of the show consistent, because I don't understand how you're going to show so much aggression to Shane McMahon where you're going to beat him up and put his head through a car window and then say you're not sorry to the audience. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Then you're going to go back to the parking lot and wait for him and basically look like a dumbass the whole show because you're standing there. Not only was that what I believe to be inconsistent with what AJ's character should be, but then when Shane comes out and says, AJ, I'm looking for you. Dude, you set up a decoy with Rhino and Slater. You knew where Shane was going to be, or you knew where AJ was going to be, so why are you looking for him? You know where the fuck he is. How are you going to be any more of a man about this? And then for AJ to be so tough in the start of the show, then at the end of the show say, you know what? I am sorry. I got ahead of myself. And then for Shane to sell, or AJ to sell Shane's offense, how are we supposed to pretend? Those punches are terrible.
If you guys go on my Twitter, at Kool-Aid, Micah Kool-Aid, you can easily.
Great name, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I got to change it to so that everyone can find me on all platforms. But either way, if you go and check, and Tony saw it, I put up a tweet that was like, seeing Shane throw those punches gives me those terrible flashbacks to them promos with Undertaker, man. Mm. It all over again. And imagine, we go be there live watching this.
And here's the thing about it, because so many people are looking at Shane versus AJ, and the saving grace here is, well, AJ, he's going to carry Shane to a good match. That's what I keep hearing time and time again, and it's as if them having a good match, that makes everything that happens before it okay. That makes the fact that AJ is not anywhere near the world title picture or in a match of greater importance or with someone on the actual active roster, that makes it all okay. And the thing that people fail to realize is leading up to that match where AJ is going to carry Shane, at some point, WWE was going to make this seem as if it was a competitive contest, meaning that AJ Styles, the all-around best wrestler in WWE, point blank period, was going to have to sell for Shane motherfucking McMahon. And that's what we saw on SmackDown. And it's just something to me, when I look at that, I'm like, this match, whatever AJ could do in the ring with Shane, it ain't worth that. It ain't worth seeing AJ get his ass kicked by Shane. It ain't worth seeing AJ sell for those little squirrel punches. It's just, I can't rock with it.
I've heard people try to compare what this match is going to be to something close to Shane McMahon and Kurt Angle way back in King of the Ring 2001. And while I don't think we can take anything away from that match, the reason that match was more believable, if you take away the fact that Shane was younger then, was that there were equalizers in the match because it was a weapons match. As of right now, this match is still a one-on-one singles competition. So for you to try to tell me that AJ is believably being hurt by these, you know, these punches where like two people don't really want to fight each other and they're just testing the waters and they're doing a little slap boxing shit. This is terrible. I can't believably buy AJ being threatened by these pussy punches.
I don't even think Shane was like even trying to punch AJ. It probably was like a fly somewhere around like a bee. No, AJ Styles, he's allergic to bees. Shane saw it was a bee around him, so he was just trying to swat.
I got you, bro. I got you, homie.
That's what it was. He was being a good boss. He was looking out for his employee. I don't know if you guys
watch Chappelle's show, but I always think of Dylan. You too close, man. You too close. Okay. Every time when Shane, you too close, man. And he just flails viciously, not doing anything. He's just flailing. Lord, oh, man. Mercy. But I'm actually looking at it right now. I have it typed up on a computer right here. And every SmackDown as of late has been about 10 to 20 minute promo. Then we had that amazing American Alpha and Usos match. And it changes it from what the norm was. Normally for SmackDown, it was do the match and the match will tell the story. Then from there will be a logical conclusion step by step. AJ has no reason to fight Shane. His whole reasoning is, oh, man, I'm mad because I didn't. Sorry, I got to get my AJ. Oh, man, I'm mad because I didn't get my get my title shot at WrestleMania. Well, I'm going to beat up the management. I can't beat up Daniel because he's beat up in the first place, and I might get in trouble. But beating up Shane, who believed in me, was going to make me get a WrestleMania match.
And it's things like...
Makes no sense.
Why couldn't you just switch over? Just make it make sense. When they had AJ, or they had Shane and Daniel Bryan in the ring, and Shane was pulling for AJ to get the title shot. Yes. Daniel Bryan was pulling for Randy Orton. Just make that switch. Make that switch. That would have made things a lot more
AJ would have digestible. AJ would have did the same thing to Daniel, and then it actually would have been even more. He would have actually been booed. Because if you saw the freaking SmackDown that I saw, and I put out a tweet again, once again, at Michael Kool-Aid, he gets cheered out the ass. He gets cheered so hard. And he could easily have beat up your grandma, and the crowd would have been like, yeah, AJ, she deserved it. She don't need to give you no candy.
Yeah, for AJ to be slotted in this place, knowing that the crowd already wants to cheer him, and knowing that it's going to come off, it's not going to come off the way that WWE wants it to, because they want AJ to be seen as this vicious, dastardly, just disgusting human being by driving his boss's head through a car window. And the crowd does not want to boo AJ, and he's supposed to be in the wrong here. This is how WWE is positioning him. This is the guy, he's doing all of the wrong things. But it's like, no, we kind of like AJ. We actually really like AJ. We don't want to boo him. So just put him in this slot.
It's the factor of being ultimately cheered. I give it for the factor of, if you go back, and I had to, once again, did research. I had to go back. And I looked at, remember when Batista turned on Rey Mysterio, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, mm-hmm. The whole world hated Batista since then. That's when he got his big push to go face John Cena at WrestleMania, et cetera, at the end of that whole feud. Anywho, you have to go after the ultimate babyface. That is Daniel Bryan. He has a baby on the way. He has a serious head issue that, quotation marks, WWE will not let him wrestle anymore. And if he just simply attacked him, he would have been booed out of the ass. Instead, you went for Shane, who is a McMahon, who in a regular WWE fan's mindset, McMahons are evil. We have Vince.
But Shane escapes that, though. Because I think
Shane's not like other McMahons.
Yeah, they said it on SmackDown. I don't think it's necessarily about who AJ was going up against. It was about AJ himself. Like, this was a mistake for WWE to have him in that position.
That's right. That's true.
And bear in mind, though, like, we're allowed to criticize this, but we're all being a little bit egregious, because I'm sure that match is going to be fun. We're all going to have a blast seeing it. But
well,
what's leading up to it?
That goes without being said, because I love live wrestling. But anybody who listens to this program, you know I am a big story guy. This is the reason why I watch wrestling. There's nothing intrinsic about wrestling itself, the act of people grappling around, that draws me in. It's all about wrestling being an avenue to tell stories. So that's this is the reason why I watch. So hell yeah, I'm gonna be critical. And hell yeah, I'm gonna have a wonderful time at WrestleMania too. So I'm just gonna say that.
It ain't gonna stop us. I have to sit through those women's matches that I do not want to see at all. And we will get there when we get there.
Wait a minute. But you have to sit through. What is this about? You're saying that like this is a chore.
I don't want to see. You said it yourself, Jay. I saw it. You don't. Nia has no business being in that match.
But the thing about that is, that's connected to the story. That's not about the match itself. Like, the match, I'm going to really like that match too. But there is a story that is being told between Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Charlotte. That triad right there. That does not necessitate the presence of Nia Jax. She could do something in the match, but you know, the story itself, she doesn't need to be there.
I know.
No, especially since she doesn't even need to be in the finish for the match to be over.
And but this is one of those things from WWE. You can clearly see that it's like, oh, hey, well, we don't have a spot for her. Let's throw her in the championship match.
My girlfriend put it like this, and she loves Nia Jax. She's Samoan, so she's got to be in WrestleMania. She's only been watching for like a year and a half, and that was, and she already figured out the formula immediately. He's Samoan, so they're in.
Tamina, she's related to The Rock. Where's her spot?
She's related to Jimmy Snuka. Jimmy Snuka isn't directly related to The Rock. They just are somehow.
Well, technically, The Rock isn't even directly related to Roman Reigns.
What kind of blasphemy do you speak of?
I have seen
the WWE product.
Isn't it? No, are they related by marriage?
Hold on. It is a blood brother relationship.
Blood brother relationship. Not, I'm trying to keep it kayfabe, man.
Not DNA. It's quote unquote blood brother, but that the same way that The Rock is related to Roman Reigns, he's related to Tamina. He bought her a car a few years ago. He was like my cousin, so shit. He's buying her cars and stuff like that. They got to be related somehow.
But we spiraling. We already said everything we did about AJ. Y'all want to go towards the tag teams real quick? Get that out of the way.
Well, weren't we talking about the women?
True. We'll keep that up. First off, I'll give my view on the women. For one, I want it to be a singles one-on-one women match. You said it, you said it yourself, 75 matches since a gosh dang one-on-one women's match at WrestleMania. To me, Melina versus Victoria, I think it was.
Let me see. What's it?
Guys.
I can't verify that. That sounds about right.
That's about right. I don't remember whichever WrestleMania it was, but either way, yeah, that was it. And since then, we've had we need all the women here. We need all the women. If for me personally, I wish for a fact one of the two women's title matches were going on. At least one of them would have been a one-on-one match. And you guys have already discussed about the whole Bayley fiasco that they missed a huge opportunity with having not be at getting tied at WrestleMania. First off, I think Sasha's going to win it, but they could have easily done Sasha versus Bayley because Charlotte's already done. But they're prolonging it. They're doing the natural WWE method of prolonging the match and prolonging the thing. And I understand, and story wise, they're doing it well, but they could easily have just kept it simple, copacetic, and it doesn't make them, to me and to even other women that I've spoken with about wrestling, it makes them look a little lesser than men, that WWE cannot trust the 12 or so women to have a one-on-one match at WrestleMania. And I think Raw would have been perfect. SmackDown, like they have a lot more character depth in the SmackDown women's roster, but none of them are like top tier Sasha, Bayley, Charlotte, even as sad as it makes me feel, Becky Lynch. If you could have just kept it Sasha and Bayley, I would have been fine. Charlotte being in there, I've seen everything Charlotte can do, and I'm fine. And Charlotte had a WrestleMania moment and all that. Give Bayley and Sasha theirs at this moment. Maybe give Charlotte some sort of a women's, if they want to get all the women out there, have them have a women's number one title, a Royal Rumble match. That would have been cool, even though WrestleMania would have been an extra.
Do we even have enough women that are viable for some kind of match like that?
Viable? Okay,
viable wasn't the right word.
I'd have to.
Do we have enough credible contenders?
We would have to make it probably a battle royal, over the top battle royal, and just bring out Dana, Nia.
If we're doing credible contenders. A battle royal for credible contenders in the women's division. That battle royal would be Nia Jax and Charlotte, and that's it.
A battle royal actually also gives you the capabilities of showcasing a certain character. So, for example, let's look at the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Worst name. God, they need to shorten that thing. either way, look at it for, I'll go with last year with Baron Corbin. He was probably the best, or even let's go with the first one with Cesaro. No one would have thought Cesaro would have won the first one. It was just a whole bunch of dudes in a ring. But then Cesaro kept showing more and more these amazing things that he could do in the ring. And then in the end, it built up to him in Big Show. If they put out, for example, I know y'all going to say, nah, not her, Emma, and I'm talking evil Emma and Jay, and I think you, Dalton, as well, you still at least watched NXT when Emma was her evil character, that she could easily put on a good showcase, beat up, let's say, a Summer Rae who debuts back. Paige ain't coming back no time soon. They have... we ain't going to go there. But bring out all those stupid little jobbers that are always there and just have them just flip around and just like, oh, shoot, none of them would think. But then you see Emma take them out one by one by one, piece by piece, build Emma up so that when the following day on Raw shows up, even though she's not going to win it and Charlotte wins it, so then they can prolong the match, then Emma can easily be like, oh, yeah, I'm a badass. Look at me.
Okay. But, sorry. That's interesting.
I'm just dream matching. But I just want a women's one-on-one match. And for them to just shoehorn Nia in there just because they want all the women to get a paycheck of some degree, a payday, it's just lazy. It's just lazy. If that's the case, they could have put Samoa Joe in this Chris Jericho thing and make it a two-on-one match.
We've made a lot of advancements in the women's division, and I think that that's the last hurdle that we need to jump over. This incessant need from WWE to throw all of the women into, you know, one match or split it, however it is that they do it. That's one thing that I do not like about the booking. But sometimes there are moments where you're presented with an opportunity to actually tell a story, and maybe it's not a singles match. For example, if it was to be a triple threat between Charlotte, Bayley, and Sasha, I could have rocked with that. Even though this would be the second year in a row where they did a triple threat, there's still a story there that I honestly believe that a lot of folks are not getting, and it sucks that they threw Nia in there, because I'm like, damn it, I was preparing a video, I'm ready to let people know what's going on, and then they put her in there, and it just undermines the whole friggin' thing. But over on SmackDown, it is much, much worse, because you can tell they don't have any kind of direction at all. And the reason why they're talking about the match in the way that they're talking about it is because they want to leave room for surprises. Every available woman. So yep. We see all of these women, Mickie James, Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss, Carmella. Natalia. Yeah, Carmella. All of these women who are on screen. Yeah, we know they're going to be in the match, but they want to keep that little door open so we can get some surprises and stuff like that. And it sucks that they're doing it this way, because once again, this is not my SmackDown. I don't know what's going on.
Because that surprise female superstar entries, that worked so well at WrestleMania 25, right? There was literally a point in that 25 or 20 women's battle royal where the announcers weren't even aware of who was in the match. There was a point where Tori Wilson got like tossed over the top rope and the announcers were all confused as to who that was, and it took about 10 or 15 seconds for one of them to say, oh, wait a minute, is that... that's Tori Wilson. We haven't seen her in 5 years. Oh, and that was it. And that's kind of what I feel like we're doing now. Like, I know on paper and in reality, actually, I know that women's matches do mean more in the grand scheme of things, and they're paying more respect to what these women can do in the ring. But in reality, this is probably going to be like the second or third match on the card. And I personally, even with Nia's addition, feel like they deserve better.
100%. 100%. And to the SmackDown women, it's that none of them really have stepped up in the... Bayley, Sasha, and Charlotte are... Bayley, they messed up, but Bayley still, all three of them are larger than life women. They are what a female wrestling fan would want to be. But when you look at SmackDown, you're like, they based it. they're a little better. They're a little better, but they base it. It's like when I look at all the women at SmackDown, they're like high school girls. They're all just like high school girls. There's Natalya, who's I'm the best there was, the best there is, and the best there I cannot live off.
Stand her.
Oh my God, she I has can't stand her. Fallen so much. There's Natalya, who's that girl who lives off of her parents' luster. Then there's Becky Lynch, who's that rocker girl that doesn't really have any friends, but she thinks that she's super cool. Then there's Alexa Bliss, who is the girl who's super cool, but nobody effing likes her. Then we have Carmella, who uses boys. Literally, that's her character. And then we have Mickey James, the girl who never graduated.
The girl who never graduated. No, she's the girl who went off to college, but then she still hangs out at the high school parties.
Yes, exactly. Am I wrong?
But
all of the characters.
But like, yeah, I get
it's the truth. None of them stick out. Naomi, barely, but she was that cool black girl cheerleader. But
she was getting there.
But man. She was getting there. And God, man, I'm still holding out hope. I might be just alone in this. I'm waiting for, oh, my lady, is that, what? And then just boom, I'm
wait,
marking
what,
out.
Wait, okay? What is that? What was that?
I go do it again. Nah, we're cool. I'm not, as much as I love Cass doing it, I'll leave the singing on the air to him.
Okay. But Alexa Bliss, she is doing a fine job in her character, though. I got to give her props for that.
Compared to
my homegirl.
Right here to now, she's excelled far and beyond.
Okay. Let's move over to the Raw side, and let's talk a little bit about Triple H.
Mm. Oh, God.
Okay. Dalton.
I guess I have the floor now. So I will never criticize Triple H for giving a bad promo, because the man could literally sell ice to a polar bear. What I felt Monday was, this past Monday, was him trying so hard to push the narrative, because the fans were already throwing CM Punk chants at him like 10 seconds into his question after Michael Cole talked to him. And what I don't understand is, he's been putting Seth Rollins down and saying, I am done playing your little games. I am done with Seth Rollins. Here's some comp tickets. Michael Cole, when you see Seth Rollins, please give them to him. That could have been it. But as you step out of the ring, you say, wait a minute. You all want Seth Rollins and Triple H at WrestleMania? How are you gonna rub it in our face that we're not going to get this match and then beg us off? There's a reason the crowd did not react the way you wanted to, because you were sending conflicting messages. It's not that Triple H's delivery was bad, but I honestly feel like what happened was he was trying so hard to overpower the crowd and shut them up with their CM Punk chants that he was just rambling on and on and on, because he made his points about 5 minutes in and then had 10 minutes more of trying to like, shut the fuck up, I'm Triple H. Oh my God, it ruined it for me.
See, it made sense though. I've been seeing people criticize Triple H for the promo, and they're talking about how he was calling the crowd, basically calling them idiots, and then to basically saying he didn't care about their opinion, and then asking them for their opinion. It made sense because the message that he was sending is that these people are fools. Because I just stood here and I told all of you that Mick Foley getting fired was your fault. I told you that Mick Foley, he sacrificed years off of his life, off of his career, because he was addicted to the chants from the crowd. And he's telling them that the crowd is detrimental to the health of your favorite wrestlers. You keep cheering for them, and you cheering for them are leading to their demise. Then he says, okay, now that you have that information, do you want to see me kick Seth Rollins' ass? Everybody cheers. So Triple H is like, okay, well, you asked for it, and that's what I'm going to give you. So that's what it was.
I'm with Donald. He proved this point a long time ago. It was just taking up time. Like, hey, Seth Rollins, I hate you. I want to fight you. Come here and sign this paper. And you supported your man like no one's business, Jay. I know you love Triple H, and I know you're gonna support him definitely.
Because he is good at what he does.
Oh yeah. I will support that 100%. And if you want, I will talk with you about that off air because I did some history. But he is excellent at what he does. But he's excellent once he's already done it. Think even Paul Heyman could go down a ball of flames if he just keeps going on with his promo. And for me, that's what Triple H did this week.
There, let's put it this way. There's a reason, Jay. I know WWE cuts up the replays of what has happened on Raw and SmackDown and cuts out some of the filler points. Mm-hmm. But there's a reason that the recap that they put on the WWE YouTube channel has Triple H asking, is that what you want? And they cut to like 3 minutes later in the promo to the reaction the crowd was supposed to give when he asked that question. It didn't work. It really felt like he got the reaction he was supposed to get too early in the promo, and they had to backtrack so they could get it right for the air.
Well, I could understand that. Maybe there was some filler there. You know, Triple H, he is a long-winded type person. However, I don't believe that there was an error in the way that the segment was structured. For Triple H to go out there and say, you know, you people are idiots because you keep leading your favorite superstars down a path of destruction, and then to ask them, are you sure you want to do this? And they say, yeah. He's like, okay, bet.
I'll give you that. They did do the good. I will give you that. I think it definitely was long-winded, but if you go by presentation, setup, and build and all that, and delivery by the end of it all, it did what it did. It did what it needed to
do. Very ringing endorsement there.
Mind you, the crowd ain't helping. Can we please have a quick talk about the crowds lately? I'm done with them, man. I go to, and Dalton, are you in Tampa, right?
I'm in Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. Okay, so you do go to the local NXT shows, right?
Yes, I do.
And same goes for myself here in Largo. Now, I went to one a couple weeks ago, and it was awesome. I love Cassius Ohno even before he came back. And the first match was Cassius Ohno. And I got these guys sitting next to me, just two seats beside me, screaming out, Chris Hero, oh my God, I know who he is, I'm so cool. And I'm like, his name's Cassius Ohno. Now, deal with it. As well, it's not a factor of fans being fans anymore. It's a factor of fans trying to intersect themselves into the product, trying to make themselves the piece of the show. Sorry, the show, the whole show, and I'm over it, I'm done. But then when you get stuff like 205 Live this week, amazing mother effing crap, you know what they're screaming? Do a monkey flip! Yeah, I listened to it again. That's what they're screaming every match.
See, like, the issue is, for me, is at least in the last couple of years, WWE has gotten smart to the fact that we want to take a bigger part in the product. We want to intersect ourselves, and they've kind of fed that notion. There have been points where it's like we initially try to elicit a certain reaction from the crowd because, well, if the crowd reacts strongly, by virtue of what you see on TV, somebody at home is more likely to look at something favorably if the crowd present there at the time looks at it favorably. And I think the fact that there are certain times where we try to feed that reaction, we try to elicit that, is problematic, because then you have certain shows like that, like house shows, or just small segments that don't deserve certain reactions that they get. You have problems where the fans feel it's okay to interject themselves. And obviously you can't take a general approach and just try to say, oh, we don't want fans reacting. Obviously you can't do that, but I just think you got to use common sense, because it's annoying for the most part.
Using common sense, that's funny.
Yeah, no.
We're going to do the same thing at WrestleMania, though. We're going to be there. We all want to get our money's worth, right?
I'm going to be cheering what I believe in correctly. I'm not going to be cheering what or CM Punk or
chanting monkey we flip. Want Paige and oh, shit like that.
Yeah. No, I damn sure ain't doing that. Like,
I damn sure.
I mean,
she's a great
wrestler.
She's a great wrestler, by the way, everybody. She is a great wrestler.
Besides I know that
crazy girl.
She calls out her spots, you know, too loudly, but yeah.
True.
Besides that, she's all right. Yeah.
I mean, I know Sarah is going to be booing the proposal if John Cena actually proposes to Nikki.
And I'm going to be cheering louder so that I counteract that booing.
Okay, I will be right there with you. When you brought up John Cena, who has watched that dang total bullshit shit multiple times?
Oh, that was God. So friggin' amazing, man.
That was so great.
The Miz and Maryse, even though they're only like a few years older than me, I want them to adopt me. Like, I really do. Because they are so.
So you want a Canadian phenomenal. White woman and a Hollywood white dude to be with this Arizona black military man?
Excuse me? Don't you ever refer to me as Arizona. I just stopped here for a brief 5 years. But, you know, yeah, no, it's four. Yeah, it's four. I'm not from here, though. I don't claim Arizona.
Oh, yeah, you're from
the boy. Right?
Exactly. There you go. Yeah, boom.
I had to reach back into my old PWF, PWTR days. When you used to say you were in Detroit, but besides,
they are phenomenal. They are amazing, yeah. Very oh fashionable. I bet you they would like my shirt.
Oh I my god, they're hilarious. Oh, Nikki, I think it's time for me to give you the ring, the WWE ring. Oh my god, oh my god, this was the week of comedy for WWE, Southpaw Wrestling, and this dude, it was so funny this week.
And I hate the fact that I am so invested in Nikki and John Cena to the point where I feel like there needs to be a proposal now, because shit, they have to work it out now, because it's like, you're not going to sit up and make fun of me week after week on TV about not getting a ring, and then for it to not happen, like, that shit has got to happen. WrestleMania will not be complete if Nikki and John Cena
don't get engaged.
Exactly. She better get the ring in the ring, okay?
Yes. If you should have put a ring on it. I have to believe Nikki's okay with it, because, like, a lot of people are saying, like, well, that's really going to take away from the matrimony and the emotional appeal of the marriage. How are you going to say that? Maybe Nikki wants this. Mm-hmm. Maybe Nikki wants to be adored. Maybe she wants a reaction, whether it's positive or negative. You know, women like to be shown off, and what better way to show off your wife than to 55,000 to 60,000 people in an arena? Who mm-hmm. are we to judge what makes them happy?
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know what? Based off of the other personal things that we've seen displayed in front of a lot of people, a marriage proposal, that, you know.
There's people that have been married at WWE shows all the time, like a random person.
I remember Cena and Ziggler. That match, I remember that distinctively, because it's like, damn, Ziggler does not matter at all.
Oh, Jay, that was what we talked about in my little interview last mm-hmm. week. But besides that, people, in affection ways, people love to be, look at Facebook, look at Instagram. People love to take pictures of when they get moments like this. What bigger moment is there than proposing to your wife? Sorry, your fiance then at WrestleMania. And you know damn well Nikki wants that. And then if we go for even the Total Bella show, we watch Jimmy and one of the Usos marry Naomi on television.
It was Jimmy.
Yeah, I thought I had it right. I didn't want to mess it up. That's serious. Either way, if Nikki does not get that ring at the end of that match, even, and I've thought of a scenario where Miz wins. It's very small. But there is a possible scenario where he might win. Nikki still can get that ring and have me and Jay cheering like nobody's business.
We can equal 60,000 people, I think. Sir.
Cassie's going to be – my girlfriend's going to be right there with us.
Okay.
Jesus.
So y'all be cheering. Sarah will be booing. I'll be taking pictures of the whole dang thing.
This is going to be such a wonderful moment, I tell you. Oh my god. But yeah, this feud is the saving grace for me over on SmackDown. Because you look at the other top two feuds, Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt, I have absolutely no idea what the hell is going on over there. We already talked about Shane and AJ. When it comes down to John Cena and Nikki versus Miz and Maurice, they're taking the cake, and they're freaking running with it.
This the wedding cake?
There you go. Boom.
That was a good one. That was a good one. Mm-hmm. 100%. They are doing great by it. It's funny, it's entertaining, it's interesting. And John Cena's promo on Talking Smack at the end. Ooh.
Oh, don't you love how he just kept smack. Saying Mike? Like, he's like, not The Miz. Mike puts himself over. Yep. Mike is the flavor of the month. Dude.
But for me, the other John Cena ones were always like, eh. But that one on Talking Smack this time, I was like, damn, son. Like, he legitimately made me fear him. And that ain't often with John Cena when I see him on TV. If I saw him in real life, I'm going to piss myself. But besides that, you spoke about Bray Wyatt, and I don't know about you. First off, I think Bray Wyatt and Randy is going to close the show. It's my hope, but I really think so. And honestly, just because I want that nighttime lantern thing to happen a little bit, the feud is wacky. Not in the good way. They're taking it just as you've said before. They're taking all the hoops and ladders to try and make it as convoluted but make sense as possible. But I like Bray getting beat, like leveling up. As we've seen through all the years since Bray's been back, he's never been an elemental force that they've tried to bring to WWE. When he showed up, it was like, oh, he's just a crazy dude that lives in the bayou. He's like, hey, man, I'm Bray Wyatt, and I got me these two dudes to hang out with me. So, like, I'm going to whoop that ass. Why are you here?
can you imagine Bray Wyatt saying I'm going to whoop that ass?
But he's never had a point. He's just been showing up and then disappearing. And then when he fights, he always loses. This is one of the first times where I could solely see him winning. And not just because of that he's the champion and that I damn sure don't want to see Randy again. Because the man literally has the ability of teleportation. He can summon people. He can summon people and teleport those people. I can't fight that.
He also has the power of lightning.
Yeah, lightning. Has force mind lightning. Control.
Yeah.
He has mind control. He has matter manipulation to a degree. He made a chair pop up made a cross X thingy come out of his hand out of nowhere, which I hope they explain that. But I think that's so cool, and I'm kind of missing it because Taker's. I would like to transition to Taker and Roman after this, if that's all right. But Taker's luster of immovable force is waning, and Bray, while all of the bad stuff is still on him, he's doing well to give that luster back to him. The only thing he needs to do now is to get more wins, and I think it starts at WrestleMania.
See, he's not getting that luster back at all, because there was a point in time where you say Bray Wyatt was just this guy that showed up. He was actually an interesting character back then, and there was a lot that we didn't know about Bray Wyatt, and maybe that was a good thing, because I look at Bray Wyatt right now and his sister Abigail, like that thing. And Cass talked about this on the show a few weeks ago when he said those ashes, they looked a little too wet to be ashes. I went back and I watched that segment. He was right. Those weren't ashes. That was something else. I ain't gonna say what it was. It was some BS. Okay, it was some BS. But Bray Wyatt to me right now is not interesting. Like, I look at him and I guess we can't have the best of both worlds, because I'm more interested in Bray Wyatt as a wrestler now, but not necessarily a character. For some reason, those two worlds are disconnected for me. And it sucks that when Bray Wyatt gets to the highest point that he's ever been in WWE, that's when the characterization really falls off. And this feud is not a good one for him at this level in WWE.
I think the issue that I have, and I think it might speak to both of your issues with the Bray Wyatt character, is that he's losing his allegiances. I mean, he's the kind of character, being a cult leader, that needs followers. And yeah, there were people in sheep masks that served the purpose of being bodies for the angle this past Tuesday. But those aren't people we know. And the fact that they've not brought in a character to resemble Sister Abigail kind of bothers me, because I feel like that's an avenue that could still be explored with this character. I've long was thought it somebody.
Not now.
Well, no, now it's we missed the boat. That shit sailed. I thought when it was an opportune time to do it, somebody like an Alexa Bliss might have worked well as a physical representation of the Sister Abigail character.
She's too cute to be Sister Abigail. It has to be somebody like ugly.
That's what I was thinking. That's why it works. If you were to dress her up in the right makeup, you could have three ugly guys in Braun Strowman, Luke Harper, and Bray Wyatt, and then you have Sister Abigail, because she's a compelling force, right? Mm-hmm. She's somebody that would draw Bray Wyatt to her. Maybe use her beauty as the drawing force.
Oh, okay, I see that.
Wacky stuff is going to happen at us.
Like, I don't expect the clean finish. Like, yeah. I'll give props where it's due. Like, I will give props to Randy Orton, because it seems to me that even though we have some complaints about logically where this feud has gone, Randy Orton has stayed committed the whole time. He has stayed committed to this character. And for that, I can't fault him at
what
all.
What character? There ain't much to be committed to. He goes out there
with slight sarcasm. But I can agree with Jay, but I can agree with Dalton. When he was a part of the family, he was interesting. But the problem was that we've seen guy joins cult, guy betray. Sorry, guy joins faction. Guy's only there to make the faction fall. Guy will eventually betray the faction. That was the main problem with it. And Randy gave as much as he possibly could with it for the very short amount of time that he was a part of it. And then suddenly he was like, sorry for my language, fuck this. Then he just burned down the house.
Oh, you can't curse on this show. You can't curse.
Oh. I'm sorry, little PWF Empire fans. Fudge this. Fudge Fig Newton's this.
And anybody who listens to this show should know that I was joking, because I curse more than anybody.
We've all. as I said, it was, now to look at Randy, he's just nothing. He's nothing.
See, the same Randy that I see right now is the one that I saw all throughout his time in the Wyatt family.
Yeah, I could see that, because you could see he was just playing around. He wasn't, it was like, oh, dude, I get to hang out with these guys and not have to fight that much? Aight.
Man.
Sorry, I have Randy. I get to hang out with these guys and not do anything.
So is that a thing of yours? These little impressions you did? AJ, Randy. Who else you got?
You want to get hype? I'll stay hype.
Have you guys seen that video of Gronkowski hyping up Mojo Rawley?
No, and I don't want to.
I'm quite. It sounds astonishing.
It's fucking hilarious. Like, okay. I was sitting at work today, not doing what I was supposed to do, and happened to see Gronkowski, and he's just standing in the locker room, smacking Mojo Rawley in the chest. Come on, boy, we got WrestleMania to look forward to. You're gonna win that battle royal.
Yeah.
It was so good. It was so fucking funny.
Can I just go ahead and say something about Gronkowski though? One thing that I absolutely hate when I see them pan over to celebrities in the audience is when they do like the fake fighting thing and then put their friend in the headlock. I don't know why, but I hate that. And he did that. So I just wanted to say I didn't like that. That's all.
But I think we've said everything we could about Randy and Bray right now. We got one more week, and then we got to eat the sandwich that they give us no matter what. Let's move over to the other quotation mark supernatural match, Roman and Taker. I think it's going to be cool, but I don't give two craps.
Well, I don't see much going on with Roman Reigns But the narrative that WWE is attempting to paint, new school versus the old school, this is my yard, I like that. And I'm hoping that this unlocks something within Roman Reigns. I'm not going to go as far as a heel turn, but to see who The Undertaker is and to see the presence that he brings, that just that big star power that surrounds him, the aura of The Undertaker, something has to be done to lift Roman Reigns up to a point where it seems as if he's a formidable force to go against that. And that's a tall order, but I look forward to seeing how WWE is going to execute it. That's the one thing that's keeping me holding on to this.
What I think needs to happen here is we need to introduce some subtlety. Up until now, a lot of Roman's build has been straightforward, and even if he's only said what he's needed to say in so many words. I think whether Roman wins or Taker wins, you could go either way and introduce a change into Roman's character. And the sadist in me kind of wants to see Roman win just to see the riots that are going to happen in Orlando. Because there's going to be some pitchforks, there's going to be some torches, there's going
to
be hell.
People want you to think that that's going to be the way it is. I'll never forget that time where Roman Reigns won the Royal Rumble and a dude was holding a sign in his face and said, "If Roman wins, we riot." He won.
I didn't see that.
And all you're doing, you're holding the fucking sign in his face and not rioting. That is one of the most hilarious things I've ever seen. Because it's like, dude, do you not realize how stupid you look right now? Apparently not.
I don't understand. But that can be another show. But for back to the feud and the stuff, and sorry, Dalton, you were about to say something. I interjected.
If they actually introduce a change to Roman's character, I mean, as much as we'd all like to see the heel turn, I don't think it necessarily has to be so blatant, because the fact of the matter is we got fans who are going to boo Roman no matter what he does. And the reality of it is, with somebody like Taker, who has the presence that Jay mentioned, who is larger than life, to put Roman over him is a perfect opportunity to introduce some real change to his character. And Lord knows, I hope they do that. But if they don't introduce any change, I might honestly be out of having any hope for Roman's character.
Where are you at right now when it comes to Roman Reigns?
Like, I don't enjoy his character currently, but I see a lot of potential with like this match. You'd be damned if you didn't have potential with a victory over Undertaker. But
yeah, you have to try hard to fuck it up, which I do not put past WWE.
90 seconds.
If we don't introduce any kind of change here, it's a slap in the face. With rumors going around that the next year event is going to be Lesnar Reigns, if you don't introduce some kind of change to go back to that match with Reigns changing his character, I'm not sure where we can go with him at all.
I don't know what to do with Roman. Like, wow, his heel turn. I used to
60 seconds.
So I used to be a definite. I hated Roman, man. And I'm not going to say, I will never lie about that. It probably has to be around when he was fighting AJ. When that feud was gone.
I think Micah cut out. But.
And now I fully accepted him. Dagan?
Go ahead.
Everything okay, Jay?
Yeah.
But then I completely 100% was on board with Roman at the Royal Rumble this year as number 30 because while I had
10
to get together
seconds.
Do we have to wrap it up?
No.
I just keep hearing it yelling and hearing, what do we call her? Britana?
Bridget.
Bridget.
Bridget. There we go. Bridget yelling at me. Anywho, he comes out as number 30, and everybody is booing. You know what I'm doing? I'm laughing my ass off because they got me again. And I was like, you know what? You damn straight, Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. But besides that, there's no, if you turn him heel now, it's kind of just too obvious. And turning heel turns and stuff is just too easy nowadays. Everyone thinks a heel turn solves it. And as we know now, Dolph Ziggler. But he's a whole different thing than Roman. Either way, I think that the story progression of it's my y'all. I can't do a Roman, but Undertaker's is, this is my yard.
Your Roman and Undertaker sound exactly the same.
Hey, cool. All right. I'm down with that. But my favorite is when Undertaker showed back up to enter for the Royal Rumble, and it was, I'm here to enter the Royal Rumble, and I decided that I like this sandwich, and it tastes real good. Remember at the end of the promo, he just grumbled?
Oh, yeah, the growl. That growl.
he went into full Cookie Monster mode. Oh, I'm sorry, Jay, you unleashed the monster, man. I do it all the time.
Man.
And his promos are so, it's always like he's telling, like, could you imagine being his kid? Now, Jay, I told you to do your homework today. And you did it.
Shit, by the time he gets finished talking, the homework will be already done.
But besides that, the match is, I think the match is going to be cool because Roman is pulling out some good stuff. Taker is Taker. I don't expect a lot from him, but he always blows it away for me every year. Mm-hmm. And the build is as good as it's going to be with the two of them because it's different from all the other ones. Like Triple H, when he was doing it, was trying to kind of take the two last old dogs standing as well as get revenge for his friend that got retired from him the year before. Then there's Punk, who was like, Paul Bear died, so F you. And then there's Bray, who was like, I'm the new face of fear now. And then there's Shane, who was trying to become GM of the company, which ended up anyway since he lost. So that's retcon. Anywho, now we have just a plain old, this is my yard. It's just, it's bare bones. There's no stakes, which is fine, and I like it that way. The streak's gone, so it's just a normal match. And I'm cool. If Roman retires him, and I think of it in the way, if you guys remember when Jeff Hardy fought Undertaker years back, and it was like a 27-minute match. They flipped. They did a lot in the end. I think Taker had to hit him with like two chokeslams or last rides or something to keep him down. And then he got up and he shook his hand. And that was the elevation from Jeff Hardy, Intercontinental Champion, person to Jeff Hardy. And if Roman can keep him down for that 1, 2, 3, Undertaker gets up, shakes his hand. I think the crowd will, if the match, when the match is very good, because that's what I expect.
Alrighty, that's it for the show. We're about to start wrapping up now. Dalton, any closing comments?
We are 9 motherfucking days away from WrestleMania.
Well, actually, woo! Just 7 days away from the trip, so by time in a week.
Where are you guys going?
We will be in Orlando.
Like, when you get, I'm going on Saturday.
We'll be there Friday.
Yeah.
Jay, y'all doing the access stuff?
Yes, yep. We are.
Nice. I'll see if I can sneak away from the missus for a bit.
Alrighty, anything from you, Micah?
I hope you all enjoyed my first introduction, and I'm sure it will not be my last. There will be many more laughs.
How are you so sure?
I think I entertain.
I think people still want impressions. You haven't even heard my Vincent Kennedy in full action. Oh man, he's always great. He's always so angry.
Alrighty, well, thank you for joining us on the show this week, Micah and Dalton. As always, the Canadian sensation, international man of mystery. Great to have you here. Yes, just a week away from the WrestleMania trip. We're going to be filming some stuff vlog style. We're going to be doing our preview of WrestleMania while we're down there. Going to get some more content on the way for you by way of PWF Empire. Hopefully you're looking forward to all of that stuff. And as always, if you want to listen to the podcast, you can do so. Well, if you hear this, you are listening to the podcast. But there are different ways based off of whatever it is that you want to do. You can download the podcast on iTunes, subscribe to it over there. The episodes will automatically be downloaded to iTunes, and you can access them through the podcast app on your iPhone, also on Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, and of course, PWFEmpire.com. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll catch you later. Peace.
Later days.
Gimmick infringement.
That's my gimmick.
Gimmick of gimmick infringement, yeah.